This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I mean, how does a tiger get in the bathroom? He almost killed me.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pants? I find it a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Pants at a time like this, I don't have any.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. 0600, what's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, I'm going to get on that. Just give me a minute.
Joyce is very upset.
Flo, we've discussed this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two. Dirt and Sprague here on the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2. YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. And, of course, the legendary 1080 AM signal. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dirt and Sprague are with you.
Happy Monday.
It is us. Want to give you guys a quick heads up. Not so quick, kind of quick. Did you know your local Toyota dealers presents the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic is back out at Langdon Farms Golf Club on Tuesday, June 24th, brought to you by Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors and Philbrook Law Accident and Injury Lawyers. We will be golfing in the morning and the afternoon, so there are rounds for either or. Matt's Barbecue will be on hand for the catering, and foursomes can be purchased right now, 1080thefan.com. Click on the Fan Golf Classic logo. Get your team out there. More details to come. We look forward to seeing you out on the course Tuesday, June 24th.
Like,
They're selling like hotcakes is what we heard over the weekend.
They always go quick. Everybody waits, and they're like, hey, you got any foursomes left? No, I'm sorry. We sold out a couple of weeks ago.
1080thefan.com, the 11th annual Fan Golf Classic. A lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We've got Josh Pate coming up at 7:15.
What? Going to be a little later. He had one of his meetings there at West Virginia's delayed.
Ah.
So he said, can I move it back? And I'm trying to find out now when he can move it back.
Well, finalize the time.
You know, can I move it back to 12:15 Eastern?
Is that where?
Yeah, we'll talk to him at 9:15.
Sure.
We'll record the interview.
Play it tomorrow. I'll be on the show tomorrow if that's the way it transpires.
Whatever works for his schedule, we will take, although we would be stuck
on Rich Rodriguez is a big deal. We're not quite on Rich Rodriguez's pedestal.
Rich Rodriguez a big deal?
He led West Virginia to the number two ranking with Pat White back in 2007.
What year is it?
It is 2025.
Ah, that's a good poll question. Is Rich Rodriguez a big deal? Yes or no?
Still a big deal.
Had a nice little entertainment weekend. I went and saw Sinners yesterday morning with my wife.
Did it live up to the hype?
God, it's a
good movie. Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Very rarely do you get a movie that comes out that is this universally loved and appreciated.
It was 100% last I saw on Rotten Tomatoes, but I like Ryan Coogler.
Yeah.
So the wife likes kind of thriller, scary movies. I'm like, yeah, I'm in on vampires and Michael B. Jordan.
Let's do it.
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, all right, let's
go. Good for Josh Allen, is that what you're telling me?
Great for Josh Allen. If she's a vampire, I want to be a vampire.
Suck my blood.
Careful.
What? She's a vampire. What do vampires do?
You're right.
Get your head out of the gutter.
But we chose the AM showing, and so I was going to miss the beginning of Pistons-Knicks.
Yeah. Early game on Sunday.
I thought the slate was reversed. It was backwards. It should have been those two games to start the day should have been the later two games.
It's interesting. On Sunday, they almost do it the opposite. Like, they want their primetime games earlier in the day.
Pacers-Bucks should have been the first one. Be like, eh.
I mean, put that on ESPN+.
But I'm not a TV exec. I don't know the windows.
Sure.
But we go to that early showing of Sinners. Theater's half-packed. I'm like, damn. This many people here for this one?
For an early morning showing.
When I bought the tickets, because I'm a movie club guy.
Yes, you are.
It was only like three people that had registered buying tickets when I walked in. I'd say it was like 68% full. One more person would have made it 69.
I like that.
And then episode of Gemstones was amazing last night.
the Gemstones episode was.
Dude, I can't believe you're not watching this show.
I'll get to it at some point.
It's not a some point show.
It is a some point show. Every show is a some point show. They don't disappear, right, when they're done?
No, I know, but I want to talk about
the show
with you.
It's not like a timely current event thing. It's just, I'll get to it at some point.
Baby Billy's doing so much cocaine. It's making it the funniest thing possible is Baby Billy doing a lot of cocaine.
I see the memes that come out of the episodes when they pop out and it's him saying, I don't need a lot. I just need an eight ball and $2 million. Is that too much to ask for right now?
He prayed for a hit of his cocaine. He prayed to God for it to do its
work. Please, Jesus, help me.
He said, I need you to make this one a little more.
Just to let me soar a little bit here.
But, so we'll get to Josh Pate when we get to Josh Pate. No longer 7:15, so we'll figure it out if we get the ticker with Josh Pate today. I want to start the second hour. I want to get your thoughts because I did not watch. I did not follow. All I saw was one stat line, and I don't know if it was halftime or the game.
What the hell's the matter with you?
My Austin Novosad take is aging beautifully because he clearly looks like the better quarterback of the team.
Oh, yes.
Three of seven for 30 yards? That's what you want to see out of your starting quarterback.
That was a halftime line.
3 for 7 for 30 yards against your own defense. You're not lighting it up there.
His final line of the game was 5 of 9 for 58 for Austin Novosad. So. Yeah, he's in the mix. I thought he played well.
Dante Moore's 3 for 7.
Yeah, he was 12 of 20 for 140. Ew. Yeah, he did throw a Hail Mary.
Gave him some passes.
Threw a Hail Mary pick at the end of the game. It was fun, man. It was a great weekend. Look, it's spring football, so there's not that much to take away from it. The atmosphere was awesome. The place was basically, not fully, I would say, give it a...
Be honest.
70% full.
Bex, be honest.
The end zones were empty. The sides were pretty full, if that makes sense. Like, the sidelines were pretty full. The student section, look, I give the student section a lot of crap at times during the regular season because I think there's a Californication of the student body that has happened.
Sure.
Over the last 20 years, and it just doesn't mean as much as it used to for Oregon football.
I thought they've been better the last 2 years.
I mean, they were great for the Ohio State game. There's a handful of games I'm looking up like, what the hell? Where are you? What are we doing here?
Back
you got nothing else
day.
To do. Get your ass in the seats. Let's go. Tickets are free, damn it. But the student section was full. That was awesome to see. I just think everything that came together for them. So on the weekend, they set a new program record, which they broke their last year's record for players drafted into the NFL. You had a massive recruiting weekend. The number one recruit in the country was in town. We'll see. A lot of people think he's going to go to Georgia.
Jackson Cantwell,
but yeah. He loved his visit and he was in town. Beautiful weather. You get to see the spring game atmosphere. The stats and the numbers are always misleading. There's guys that have big spring games that you're like, wait, what happened to that guy? And they don't do anything. Mm. There's guys that don't do anything or play bad, and you're like, look at that, he's really good. Like, there's never a direct correlation to it. The main thing that I look for is watching young guys for the first time. I thought the quarterbacks were fine. It's hard to execute when you have two or three backup offensive linemen. That was a constant theme of the day. The defensive line was dominating the offensive line. But when you rotate and split it into two, the offensive line is the unit that will always struggle the most. I thought a lot of the young secondary guys jumped off the screen. Ife Obadegwu looked awesome. Trey McNutt was making plays. Naeem Offord made a couple of nice plays in the end zone. And then on the other side, you had all these young wide receivers, which I think fans are curious to see how that position shakes out this year. Jeremiah McClellan looked good. Dylan Gresham was probably the standout of the game. He had a breakaway touchdown at one point on a slant. You saw some awesome catches from DeCorian Moore. He made one early in the game from Novosad on like the first drive. So the number one wide receiver in the country looked good. And then I joked about it earlier. Kenyon Sadiq was like, he was the biggest takeaway. The way his physicality, the way his body looks at this point, we heard it a year ago, the talking point, what he's baby Brock Bowers, but he was also in a tight end room behind a guy who was drafted in the second round this weekend, and Terrence Ferguson.
The all-time leader.
Now the runway is clear, and you're tight end number one. He's going to be weapon number one. They want to get him 100 touches this year, I think was the quote from Will Stein. He looks the part, and he was awesome this weekend.
Here was Dan Lanning on his post spring game press conference on Kenyon Sadiq.
Well, I've seen it every day that he's been here, right? This is a guy that's constantly improved, that's worked really, really hard, you know, embraced whatever role he's wearing for the team, and been able to help us since the day he got here. So, I think you saw some of Kenyon, what we get to see every single day in practice.
He also talked about, you mentioned their draft class. They had a nice draft class, a lot of Ducks getting drafted over the weekend. Here was Dan Lanning's thoughts on those guys going to the NFL.
Yeah, proof's in the pudding, right? I mean, you just look at it. You're setting a program record for guys being able to draft it, to get drafted in the NFL this year. You know, every year our draft picks have gone up. since we've been here. And that's really credit to those players that have worked extremely hard, get an opportunity to live out their dream. Really excited for them and really grateful for everything they did for Oregon.
And you mentioned Dante Moore. I rib you a little bit about the Novosad Moore thing, but here was Dan Lanning's takeaway or thoughts on why they didn't go into the portal for the quarterback position.
Because I like who we have on our roster. Yeah, I like the guys that we got, right? And, you know, that's always been something. You want to create competition in every position. We've utilized the portal at times when we felt like that helped us and enhanced us, had an opportunity to go have success. There's also sometimes the portal, it's not all under your control. If you're lower in a certain roster spot, you need to be able to add guys to make sure that you can go out there and practice. Roster limits have changed some of those things. There's been some other adjustments, and we'll see how those rules continue to change and shape. But ultimately, I feel good about the guys we have at that position.
I think it's a pretty friendly quarterback system. There's not a lot of overthinking you can do in that because you just
execute the offense,
right.
Baby. Get rid of the ball and execute the offense.
Exactly, and that's the big part of it is get rid of the ball, right? Whether it's your running backs, your tight ends, your receivers, it's get to the ball to playmakers, let them largely take it from there. I know I've said this probably too many times for Duck fans liking. Fascinated to see how that goes this year.
Yeah.
Because this is the first time in his career as the coach at Oregon, he's not going to the experienced veteran college quarterback. He's handing the keys to Dante Moore. And we haven't seen Dante Moore play in a game in a while.
Yeah.
I largely joke with you about the Novosad thing, but if things don't go Dante Moore's way, does Novosad actually get a shot this year? I know the defense is important. I understand Kenyon Sadiq is obviously awesome. You mentioned some DBs. The special teams is important. We're just so conditioned in that sport to care so much about that spot. And this is the first time as the coach at Oregon and the head coach in general, he's not turning the keys over to a 5- and 6-year guy.
Yeah, I would say the similarity that I would make is probably his first year because Bo was experienced. He had played a lot at Auburn, but he was also I didn't want him at Oregon when he first transferred in.
He
was
a
question mark.
Bo
he played a lot of snaps.
Yeah,
there's no doubt. But
was there.
Let's not sit here and act like Bo Nix was viewed as a can't miss transfer the way that Dylan Gabriel was a year ago. He came back for the next year, was a Heisman finalist, and that was the year we knew that Bo was going to have a good year. But it's the most important position I think you can argue for them this year, which is why a lot of the other takeaways that I had were important for whoever that ends up being. I do think it's going to be Dante Moore, but they look good at wide receiver. Evan Stewart didn't play in the game, but he was in uniform on the sideline. There's been some weird kind of stories about him this spring of how engaged is he? He had the back injury at the end of last season. Is he going to want to fight through that? Is he just kind of hanging out until he's ready for the NFL draft? That's one that I'm keeping my eye on. He's not in the portal, so he's not going anywhere. The portal is now closed. He was in uniform on the sideline, but he didn't play. All the other young wide receivers and Kenyon Sadiq look like they're ready to kind of carry the offense from a skill position standpoint. And so that's going to help whoever the quarterback ends up being. I did think they all had flashes and moments. They all made a couple of bad throws and they were all under pressure the entire game, which was the other takeaway. And that is Dan Lanning, his first 3 years at Oregon, has essentially grabbed every elite defensive lineman on the West Coast. And there's a lot of names that people, unless you follow recruiting and roster building, you just forget about because they haven't played. And all these guys are 4- or 5-star recruits. And I think the defensive line is going to be nasty this year. Aiden Breland was a guy who came on a little bit at the end of last season. So was Amari Washington. It's basically true sophomores. They're ready to take big steps. You got Elijah Rushing, who was a 5-star recruit. Mm-hmm. Terrence Green, Tyone Gray. Like, these guys are big. They're physical. And they have been waiting their turn.
Also, Mateo coming back.
Mateo coming back. And Tuioti coming back. Blake Purchase, who redshirted last year. Like, he has spent 3 years understanding. What did we talk about out of the Super Bowl? What wins when you can dominate games on a defensive line?
Yep.
How did Georgia win a national championship having, like, 10 NFL draft picks in their front seven on defense? Like,
Ohio State's D-line stepped up at the
nasty, and they dominated games at the end of the year. That's how you win. And so all these guys are freshmen, sophomores, or redshirt sophomores, or whatever, but they've been developed in the program. They've been putting on weight. They've been getting bigger, and those guys look like the real deal this weekend.
Oregon spring game takeaways from one of our Duck pregame hosts, Andy Dirt Johnson.
That's right.
They're going to win the Super Bowl.
They're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Looks like they might be Super Bowl
maybe
favorites.
World Series, too. We'll see.
That'd be pretty amazing.
I think they could get the World Series and the Super Bowl in the same year.
I think that'd be the first time in sports history a team's done that.
Well, they did win a national championship last year. They won multiple, technically. Two different people gave them a national championship.
Dude,
so
I can't
Dale Annie's already got two of those things.
Who's their home game starter? Who's the first game they play at home?
Montana
this year?
State.
Montana State, when they raise that wolf banner.
It's going to be a big deal.
As the best team in college football
last
year.
Give out their wolf rings. They got a wolf on them.
Everybody's going to go,
ow! It's going to be a huge deal, dude.
The obviously big news of what is this team doing? Get to it next on The Fan. Blues, heavy in the movie Sinners.
I'm going to go see it then. I didn't know it was a vampire movie. When I first saw the trailer, I didn't quite, you know, doesn't
me either.
Infer. You're just like, ah, it looks like a good movie.
Yeah, Swag goes, oh, I don't do vampires.
Like, of course he doesn't.
It's
yeah.
It's a
entire genre. I'm not going to see it. Just judge it on its surface. Terrible movie. It's not going to see it.
It's a great movie.
It's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 100%.
It's just like when he,
you know how rare that is?
When he has his mind made up on food and genres or movies, yeah, or he like will never give anything
else. I'm not a huge vampire guy either.
What?
I don't really do the vampire thing.
Excuse me.
It's been a long time since my vampire
days. When I met you,
days.
You were obsessed with a teeny bopper
vampire TV show.
What was that called? True Blood?
Sookie. True Blood on HBO.
Like you,
Danforth and I used to watch that back in the day.
You used to talk about that show all the time.
There's a lot of hots in there.
Yeah, you just, your reluctance to try stuff is, it's astounding. Like,
I have a very hard time, zombie movies, that sort of thing, suspending my belief. I love true crime. I love, like, a good spy thriller.
Oh, spy thrillers are not suspending
belief
at all.
James Bond survives all of those.
Mission Impossible 88, coming to theaters this
summer. Definitely
riding
along the side of an airplane,
yeah.
Holding on to the wing.
Holding on to the submarine under the ocean for 25 minutes straight.
I can suspend my belief for that more than I can for mythical.
That is that
means.
Makes no sense. No,
I'm
sense
not
at
saying
all.
It does make sense. I'm just saying
it's a great
that
movie.
Doesn't compute in my mind.
Well, you know what doesn't compute in my mind?
What doesn't compute in your mind?
Drafting Dylan Gabriel in the third round and then two rounds later drafting Shedeur Sanders.
Doesn't make a lot of sense, Bob.
I don't know what to go with here because we've got Mel Kiper audio dirt. We've got all the draft leakage. Leakage. We've got Shedeur leakage. But also, the Cleveland Browns are going to escape, I think, today, most of what the conversation should be. What the hell are they doing?
Yeah, from a draft that started on Friday with me telling everybody that that was an A-plus trade for me. I'm not a huge Travis Hunter guy in the top five. They got a future first-round pick from a bad organization to move back and got maybe the best defensive lineman. Time will tell in the draft, still at number five. This started as a home run draft. And then they take Dylan Gabriel in the third round. And even with my duck glasses on, I'm like, what? Third round?
Legacy duck.
Okay. Not a legacy duck. 1 year, but still a great, fun 1 year. And I don't understand why you would take him in the third round. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think there were other quarterbacks of more value that you could have gotten probably later. And Dylan Gabriel should have gone later than that. And then to take Shedeur two rounds later, it turned into a laughing stock.
Here's Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, at their post-draft press conference. Here is his takeaway or thoughts on why they took Gabriel in the third.
You know, we spent a lot of time with Dylan throughout this process. Brought him in right after the combine. Did obviously the private visit and workouts out in Eugene. Decorated college career, very accurate, very poised, throws with anticipation, good mobility. We just thought he had a really well-rounded game. And the biggest negative that you can say about him is, like, he doesn't have ideal height, but that's not something that we felt like showed up in his game or his film at UCF, Oklahoma, and certainly not at Oregon this year. So we're really excited to add these young guys to the room. And
so he reaches for Gabriel at the third. Many thought he'd be a 5-7 guy. And they reach for him in the third, so that we instantly hear or see that and go, we scratch off Shedeur for Cleveland.
One more team that's out of the... There weren't that many teams to begin with, and that was one more team that at that point you would cross off the list.
Fifth round gets here. Cleveland's on the clock. Pick 144. They trade with Seattle to go up, and they take Shedeur Sanders. Here's Andrew Berry on taking Shedeur.
You know, Shedeur, you know, we talk oftentimes about quarterback being the most important position in the sport. We obviously spent a lot of time with Shedeur throughout the process. He's highly accurate, can play well from the pocket, very productive college career. And, we felt like it wasn't necessarily the plan going into the weekend to select two quarterbacks. But as we talk about, we do believe in best player available. We do believe in positional value. And, we didn't necessarily expect him to be available in the, in the fifth round. And so we love adding competition to every position room, and adding him to compete with, the guys that are already in there. We felt like, that was the appropriate thing.
Look, they're moving on from Watson. That's clear, but he's still technically being paid and he is a Cleveland Brown. So there's one. They just traded for Kenny Pickett not they that did. Long ago. There's two.
Kenny Two Gloves.
They just signed Joe Flacco like a week and a half before the draft. There's three. They That's drafted three. Dylan Gabriel in four. The third round. There's four. And there's Shador in the fifth round. Five quarterbacks. What are you doing? Like, what are you thinking with this process? We can talk about the Shador side of it, too, of how he fell all the way to the fifth round. My mind was going collusion. My mind was going, hey, you know, angry dad at child spanking Deion Sanders on the butt of how dare you say what you said for the last year. I don't know. There's all the intel is out there. But I think the Cleveland Browns need to be talked about amongst the top of what the hell they're doing.
This is when a meddling owner can become a massive problem. And I think that's been the case in Cleveland for a long time. They were so desperate for a quarterback, their owner got into play and made them make the move for Deshaun Watson, despite all the allegations and things that had transpired in Houston. They make the move. They give him the fully guaranteed deal because he was going to refuse to trade to Cleveland without it. It's turned into one of the worst, if not the worst, contract in the history of professional sports. And I think you had another example of that. The intel came out. Here's what I'll say. I'm not a huge believer in Dylan Gabriel in the NFL because of his size and his lack of arm strength. I hope that I'm wrong. He's a genuinely good kid, and I hope that he proves everybody wrong. Shout out to the short kings out there. Yes, you can have dreams to be an NFL quarterback. They at least did their due diligence on Gabriel. There were reports that came out after they took him in the third round on Friday. They had private workouts with him in Eugene. They flew out and had dinners with him. They met his family. They individual workouts. Everything they crossed, checked every box with drafting him.
They did on Shador, too.
I know that they did, but they clearly circled. The staff and the management clearly thought, this is a guy we view as a developmental piece, third round. I think it's too high, whatever the case. This is the problem with an owner that meddles, because 100% the draft of Shador Sanders was a phone call from the owner. This guy's still on the board. You're going to go take him. We're going to sell some jerseys. He was supposed to be a top five, top 10 pick. It didn't happen. He's still on the board. Let's go make a move for him now. The video of their coaches and their management staff reacting to the pick of Shador Sanders looked like a hostage video. Please clap and act happy.
Yes. What is it, Jeb Bush? Please clap.
Please clap. Please clap. Please look into all of these draft videos. When you watch them, there's guys crying on the phone, calling the players.
Yeah.
They're all high-fiving. They're their chest bumping. Like, it's just bros hanging out with bros. And this one was a staff just sitting there silently watching the television clapping. That's the way they reacted to it. That 100% screams an owner who said, you're drafting this guy and you're drafting him now, because it makes zero sense for them to put their board together, say, we've identified Gabriel as our developmental quarterback in this draft. You take him in the third round, which, who was still available in the third round?
Shador.
Okay, so you took Dylan Gabriel ahead of Shador in the third round, and then to take Shador in the fifth round.
Well, we can get to the Shador part of all the intel that has come out, written, and said of how the guy that every single mock person, everyone, name them, whether you like them or hate them.
Who had him as a fifth-round pick?
First or early second-round grade. That was the minimum he was going to, or the farthest he was going to fall was going to be the second round.
Yep.
Fifth round.
Waited around until half the day was over on Saturday.
And so, like, what happened there? We've got Mel Kiper melted down this weekend. Mel Kiper just losing his mind over Shador Sanders falling. Reese Davis got into a little bit of a back and forth. Them and Lewis Riddick kind of going at Mel Kiper. And here's the other part of this, the weirdest part. He falls to the fifth. He goes to a team that had already drafted a quarterback two rounds prior. Mel Kiper's losing his mind. Reese Davis is actually getting angry on live television. Shador was prank called. Okay, why is that weird? He was prank called by the son of an active NFL defensive coordinator who got his number off his dad's iPad when he went and visited his dad.
Left the iPad open, saw the number, wrote it down. Because that was the number that he gave. Nobody else had that phone number other than NFL teams.
Because we have to film everything, and we need clout. And so what will get retweets and clicks? Prank calling Shador, who was already probably pretty bummed that he fell all the way to the fifth round.
Yep.
So, like, we got all that to still get to. We got audio. Belichick might be... He might need help.
He might need help.
Never thought I'd say we need to help Bill Belichick, but we might need to after an interview with CBS.
An intervention needs to happen.
So we'll get to that. More NBA playoff stuff. Hopefully Josh Pate will join us for the ticker. There's a lot to get to. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan. Never knew no good feeling.
All right, welcome back in. 7:35. Still awaiting to hear from Josh Pate. He's in West Virginia. Country roads have taken him home, but Rich Rodriguez is superseding us for the moment.
Morgantown.
Morgantown will do that to you. So we'll see if we get him at some point in the show today. Biggest story of the sports weekend from a national headline standpoint easily is the one we're talking about right now, and that is how Shedeur Sanders went from a guy who could go as high as number three overall to the New York Giants.
Yeah.
All the way to the fifth round. All the way. Just kept dropping and dropping.
Now, everybody says Gabriel. My red flag of, oh no.
Uh-oh.
This is not going to end well.
Uh-oh.
It was Shuck.
Shuck. See, I wasn't surprised about that one.
Because I watched that dude play.
I agree with the take.
Nothing about him was good in college.
Based on the you know, conversations going into the draft, I wasn't surprised that he ended up, after he fell out of the first round, I wasn't surprised that he went ahead of him. Milroe was that guy for me.
Could be Milroe.
Milroe, Gabriel, there's a lot of these guys. I'm just like, oh, okay. So teams are taking quarterbacks still.
Yeah.
You're just not taking Shedeur. Yeah. Now, when you get a storyline that is this big, there's so many layers to this thing, right? The biggest thing that upset me over the weekend was, and this really started on Thursday night, I don't blame them for doing it because it generated attention and it generated clicks and eyeballs and all the stuff that they wanted. I thought this even began when Cam Ward was the number one overall pick. Cam Ward has to be, outside of maybe the year we did the night show draft party, where who was it? Eric Fisher was the number one pick that year.
See, I don't feel like it was a night show. We were filling in for prime
filling
time.
Filling in for, so evening, yeah, that's right, because it was first round of the draft,
like
so we would have been on at 4 o'clock, 4 or 5.
Whatever.
Cam Ward was like almost a footnote of like, okay, number one pick's done.
Yeah.
Okay, now we got to trade for number two, and where's Shedeur going to go? And then the storyline the rest of the night was Shador's still there, Shador's still there, Shador's still there.
Pittsburgh's on the clock.
And then it led into Friday, Shedeur's still there, Shedeur's still there. And there was a couple of takes that I saw that I genuinely agreed with, and that was, man, a lot of these dudes wait their entire lives, they work their entire lives to hear their name called, to see that little name flash across the bottom of the screen. You're realizing a dream. You don't know what your career is going to look like. You don't know how long you're going to be in the league. The average career is very short. But you fight for a long time to get that opportunity and to essentially have the coverage boil down to analysts yelling at each other about one player and one player only and just kind of everything else is an afterthought from the draft. I thought they dropped the ball there. But in terms of viewership and attention, maybe they got what they wanted out of it because everybody was talking about how Mel Kiper was, you know, losing his S every day.
Well, and I know we can play the audio here, but like I think your point is a good one of I can't even think of name. I wasn't watching actively.
I was not either.
I saw clips. I kept checking to see when Shedeur get picked just out of curiosity.
Because I didn't want to watch Mel Kiper just continue to yell about Shedeur Sanders. It doesn't do anything for me.
I think that's the thing is, one, there's no questioning whether that's good for him or not. The ratings for day two were like the highest they've ever had.
Yeah.
So clearly the Shedeur factor was a massive. They had like 7 million people watching day two.
Yeah.
7 million. I don't even know how many NBA playoff games got 7 million this weekend. And this
probably
should have been
not a lot.
A couple, but
probably not a lot.
So it clearly was good for business. But I don't know how many players or which players were taken where they didn't even talk about them really because it was just arguing about Shedeur.
And then another team doesn't, you know, who's in the Shedeur sweepstakes who doesn't take him, all of a sudden it's a combo. Well, they pass on him again instead of focusing on the player. I do want to get to some of the audio. We'll play it in a second. The dust is now settled. So Friday, you send a text to the group chat. You were all in on the collusion argument. There's some sort of like agreement, handshake agreement in the back room from NFL owners. And that was a thing. Like, you
I think
know,
it was a collective FU.
A collective FU. There was the thought of he's a confident black man and nobody wants, you know, they're scared off by a confident black man, which did make me chuckle because I think the number one pick's a pretty confident guy. But again, nobody talked about him out of the draft.
Right.
He's just kind of a forgotten. Oh, that's right. Cam Ward went number one overall. Very confident. Said every team who doesn't take me is going to regret it and I'm going to make you remember it for the rest of my career. Very confident Cam Ward is, but that didn't seem to hurt his draft stock. Now that the dust is settled, what's our takeaway on Shedeur Sanders following to the fifth round? And one of the biggest draft falls that we've ever
seen. It's the biggest. Yeah. It's the biggest one we've ever seen because people had him mocked in the first round. Some people had him mocked high. Some people had him mocked very early second. To fall to the fifth, that's about as big a drop as you will ever see. I mean, my takeaway has to be the information I'm provided. I'm sorry. It's a take business, but like you can only also go off what you hear and what's reported. Reportedly, he showed up to the Giant meeting uninterested, not prepared for the whiteboard session with Daboll, kind of countered Daboll, kind of, you know, beat his chest back at Daboll. One meeting, they said that he took a FaceTime call just in the middle of the meeting.
Yeah.
He had the legendary draft set built at his home when watching the draft. And then you have the Dion comments from over a year ago, basically saying, we're going to pull an Eli Manning, and we're only going to go to certain teams, and I will not let him go to a bad organization. And, like, look, he was really good in college. He was. That's just not a debatable fact. But his skill set wasn't so overwhelming that, like, Cam Newton, we know, probably walked into his meeting with the Panthers and everybody else of, I'm the best.
You're taking me. I know you're taking me. You have no choice.
It's Cam Newton.
I'm the number one pick in the draft.
So it's not just an arrogance thing here. It is how much noise is going to be made when Shador throws two picks, is sacked six times, and his team loses 35-3. And who's going to be going on social media basically defending Shador and throwing other people under the bus? And so, like, maybe this is a moment for Dion, but I absolutely buy into, based on how the meetings went, how his skill set wasn't, like, overwhelming for teams, that this was a collective for the teams that needed quarterbacks. No thanks.
Yeah, if that's the way you're going to act in a meeting.
If this is how you're going to act in the a year from now, yeah. If this is how you are in our meetings,
yeah.
And I'm not even saying it's right. His skill set and what he accomplished in college did not suggest fifth round. Clearly, quarterbacks that are lesser than in skill were taken before him. But I also think the NFL loves to talk with their actions, and their actions were, yeah, well, you'll get taken when we want to. And yeah. That was kind of my takeaway of the intel mixed with how we watched him fall.
Yeah, it was interesting because I think on Thursday it was a pretty big surprise. Then we all assumed he's going to go early on. Well, I'll be early.
He told everybody at his party,
I'll be early
tomorrow we're going to celebrate.
And then he wasn't drafted on Friday. And then the third round went. And then the fourth round went. So it just, you kept waiting around. And I think the shock was surprising to a lot of us. So I don't blame people for having these, like, you know, reactionary takes in the short term. But I do think we have a full picture of exactly why this is. The other part of it is that didn't really get talked about a ton. Like, going into the draft, how many teams would you even look at in the league? And if I said, they draft Shador Sanders, does it make sense? You'd say, yeah, I could see it. Because a huge percentage of the league is almost eliminated from this to begin with.
Yeah, there were only like six teams.
Right? There's only six or so teams that needed a quarterback. You had five taken in the draft last year. None of them are going to take a quarterback. All these teams are, you know, Baltimore, Houston, Buffalo, Kansas City, Chargers go through the entire list. None of them are taking quarterbacks. So there's only a small segment of teams that are even interested in you to begin with. And I think as the shock was wearing in, what I started to do was what you did, and that's reading into some of the intel. What are the reporters saying? What are they hearing from NFL teams? I was very angry, and I still stand by the take of the anonymous leak last week from an NFL coach who said he's the most unprofessional interview we've ever been a part of. Mm-hmm. He didn't seem interested, blah, blah, blah. I was against it because I hate airing that dirty laundry out in the 24, 48 hours before the draft. That's when I was poopy pants dirt on the draft because I'm just ready for it to be here. I'm tired of this red flag conversation. Let's just get to the draft and react how it goes. And in that moment, I was very angry at them leaking that stuff publicly to the media. But I never had an issue with that being the takeaway because I'm sure that was your genuine takeaway from that meeting. And the more you read, like Matthew Berry had this, and I thought it was a very eloquent way of saying it. He wrote this back in March after the NFL Combine, and he re-released it this week. He was like, this is what I wrote. And he said, I got exact opposite read on Shador Sanders from two different teams. I got to be careful here. But I spoke with two different teams that met with Sanders and completely independently of each other. They had the exact same thing to say. They both said it was a bad meeting. Mm-hmm. He came off as unprofessional and disinterested. Both also said after the meeting that they had a lesser opinion of him than prior. The same people also met with Cam Ward. Both said they loved Cam Ward and it was a great meeting. And Barry went into it basically saying, I'm not trying to kill the kid. I'm just reporting what I'm hearing. I've had bad interviews. I tried to get ESPN to buy my website. I was nervous. Took forever. Like, he did a very good job of laying out, this isn't the end-all be-all, but when you hear it independently from each other, two different teams at the combine saying the same thing, this is clearly an issue. And when you have a quarterback who is not, to your point, he's not a can't-miss number one physical trait
guy. His physicals are not overwhelming. Like, his arm's not,
oh my God, we're going to look past all this other stuff and take him because he's an unbelievable talent. He's a good quarterback who should have gone higher than the fifth round. Dude, like, talk about misreading the room if you're Shador Sanders and Dion of saying, we're going to be top five, we're going to go, it doesn't matter. I don't have to care about these interviews.
Yeah.
Like, Clearly, that was not the case. And after seeing all the different reports that came out about the way that he acted in meetings, how much of it is true, I don't know. But when there's that much smoke, there's usually a fire.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame teams at all for being like, dude, the juice is not worth the squeeze here. I'll take a flyer on another guy in the fourth round who I know will be a good backup.
Yeah. But that's the thing is he a backup? Because
I don't know.
Now Cleveland what's Cleveland going to do?
I have no-
Are they going to cut the old guy they just signed? Are they going to cut Kenny Pickett, who they just traded for?
They did.
Are they going to cut you can't cut the third round draft pick.
No, you're not cutting Gabriel after taking him.
I mean, you can, but man, you're going to look dumb.
Are you going to
even cutting a fifth round draft pick in camp?
Kenny Pickett
makes
would
you
be
look
the,
stupid.
Kenny Pickett would be the prime candidate, I would think.
So I think it's Flacco because Flacco's probably on a nothing burger deal and he's a 40-year-old.
Well,
so
I
don't know what you do here. I don't disagree with anything you just said. The intel is loud. You know, they're highlighting the way that they welcome teams into their pro day.
Yeah.
As if it was a negative on Shador. And I'm like, Hunter was also at that pro day.
And he was the second overall pick in the draft.
How you act individually in a meeting is a different thing, right? And so I'll be curious to hear when Deion talks. What does Deion say?
Yeah.
Because Deion has two choices here. He can put his foot and his heels down and say, I'm Deion Sanders. I am Colorado. This is Prime University now. And I will not change who I am or what I say. Or he comes out and talks about how the chip is on Shador's shoulders.
Go prove them all wrong, kid.
And go prove them
go
all wrong.
Go shut everybody up and go be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yes.
And that will be the takeaway of look at all these dumb teams who passed on you.
Yeah.
Because you had a bad interview and they questioned your talent. They took other bad quarterbacks ahead of you. And look, you proved them all wrong.
Yeah.
You're ultimately
it's
the author of the
interview,
end of your story.
Man. And so like I might be and say Shador is a starting level type quarterback when I watched him play. And everybody can disagree with that. That's fine. The way you conduct yourself, though, in a meeting, if all of these reports are accurate, which at this point, it's almost become a universal takeaway of this is what he did in this meeting.
He didn't care.
Yeah. Here are my
it's a
Giants
job interview,
cleats.
And I didn't care.
The Giants lived in Boulder all year, and they took Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I got the Giants cleats. I'm going to be drafted by the Giants. And so there's an air of confidence as a football player you got to carry yourself with. I just think he probably took it further, and he doesn't have the measurables to back necessarily the attitude he probably went in with those meetings with.
Yeah, let's get to some of the audio. We'll move on in the top of the hour. Wait and see if we hear from Josh Pate coming up. We still got a ton to get to. Mel Kiper melting down and the prank call heard round the world. That's next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We heard from Josh Pate in West Virginia. He's going to join us top of the hour. So that's just a few moments away. Let's get to the audio fallout of the weekend. Mel Kiper, I thought our buddy Nemec hit this on the head. I think he had a tweet this weekend pointing it out where last year Kiper was very vanilla on his quarterback takes of like, yeah, they're all good, but nothing like concrete. This
there wasn't
is my
one
guy.
Amongst all
this is number one. This guy's a bust. Like, he didn't give any hot takes. What does ESPN want?
They want the takes.
They want the takes.
Give us the takes.
They talk about Bronny James more than they do SGA on First Take for a reason, right? Give me the takes. This is what rates. And so he clearly heard that and made Shador Sanders his number one guy. Well, then the problem is Shador Sanders kept falling in the draft.
Yeah.
And that led to Mel Kiper going on rants like this.
The NFL has been clueless for 50 years when it comes to evaluating quarterback. Clueless. All that, no idea what they're doing in terms of evaluating quarterbacks. That's proof. There's proof of that.
How many times
we know exactly what we're talking about with quarterbacks? They don't.
I mean,
this guy said he would walk away if Jimmy Clausen didn't turn into a legit NFL quarterback. He said he would retire. The last time I checked, that was quite a while ago, and he's still eating pumpkin pie on ESPN on draft night.
He also had Trubisky and Kaiser ranked above Watson and Mahomes.
Nobody has any idea what they're doing with evaluating quarterbacks.
It's an impossible position to know 100% of the time.
It became insufferable, and that even Reese Davis is like as about a get-along, go-along guys I feel like you could have.
He's measured. He's a measured, hey, good point.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. And even he was like,
enough.
All right, come on, Mel.
That's the key, Mel. It's not putting a value judgment on whether those who passed are right or wrong. They did.
Yep.
So now whenever you're in circumstances in life, whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether they're fair or whether they're unfair, you might have to deal with them.
That's
and
right.
Now Shedeur Sanders and, has to deal with
and everything.
And for whatever reason, whether he played a minute, microscopic percentage, 0%, or it's a legitimate criticism of the way he conducted himself during the draft process, this was the result.
Yeah.
Now he has an opportunity to answer it. So, I mean, I think yelling at the NFL about it is not...
Yeah, it's not going to do any good. So we had Reese Davis and Mel Kiper going back and forth, Mel Kiper losing his collective mind as the weekend went on about how is this guy still a fan?
I didn't watch it, but every time I checked in, I felt like I kept seeing that there was Mel Kiper meltdown, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not watching this.
I don't really want anything to do with this. It's not entertaining to me, and it took away from the experience, I think, of all the other guys who were getting their names called. Not Shedeur Sanders' fault. That was Mel Kiper's fault. They told him to have takes this year, and boy, oh boy, did he certainly have takes. Everybody's saying he's going to be off on television. I think your point was valid in the last segment. How many people watched on Friday? For the second and third round of the NFL draft?
7+ million viewers.
This is what happens. Mel Kiper's yelling on TV. It's an entertainment business at the end of the day, whether I like that entertainment or not. That's ultimately what the masses want. And Shedeur was a massive story. He capitalized on it. He'll be back on television next year.
By the way, Shedeur being prank called is still... We got to get to that audio.
We got to get to it. We'll have our moment with fun with audio in the final hour because we have that mixed with... Bill Belichick's hostage interview on CBS. So we'll get to all that coming up in the final hour. The son of an NFL coach prank calling Shedeur Sanders and filming himself doing it.
Yeah.
It's just wild stuff. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. That fun with audio is still to come. Some more playoff nuggets out of the NBA. Let's start though with our buddy Josh Pate, a little bit delayed from earlier. He's in West Virginia. His thoughts on everything going on. He had a bunch of tweets about Mel Kiper this weekend, Oregon spring game. Lots to get to. Josh Pate joins us, kick off the final hour next on 1080 The Fan.